friends in Christ and family of Bethlehem, it was one whole year ago this week that we did this. We came back into worship in person. It took us about a couple months, 3 months in quarantine where we sat at home, did church out in the wild, out in our homes, or wherever we can get it into a video screen. But we are back. It was the day of Pentecost. It was May 31st of 2020. It's been a full year back now, and things are a little different. We don't have the ropes anymore. The masks are almost all gone. We're getting back to church as we always knew and love it. But think about all the different things we've done this last year to get there. We've probably driven each other mad trying to figure out all the normal things that were new, and we're still figuring out how to change things up to make everybody happy. We're still figuring out jobs and schools and homes and homeschooling and everything. We're still not quite there, but we are still here. We are the church, and nothing can stop God's people from loving and worshiping God. No matter if it's here in person or if it's out in the wild or in your home, out on the soccer field, wherever, you are the church. And this is the blessing that we have today, that we are back to normal in the sense that we're back to doing what God has instilled and commissioned us to do, being the church, doing what the church does, not just sitting here 1 hour a Sunday and forgetting the rest of it the rest of the week. We're going to get out and do something about God. We talked about the last few weeks about walking on water, getting out of the boat, but guess what? I've been seeing that happening already. Volunteers, teaching again, helping out with preschool, Sunday school, vacation Bible school, people helping out with coffee and donuts after worship, people helping decorate the church, people coming out and landscaping the church, people going out and helping out as volunteers in the community, supporting our various missions. This is the good stuff of the church. And it's a full year back we've been doing it. And guess what? We're getting a lot more time to really perfect it. But as we talk about the church as the institution, a lot of people don't like it these days. Today, more than ever, the institutional church, where people gather together to hear God's word, to receive his gifts, is pretty much dying. We've seen that not just in our church, but every single church in our community. And people use maybe even the ability to have technology to worship from home as an excuse because they just don't really like church. Nobody likes church, do we? I mean, I love it. I have to. But a lot of us, it takes us a little bit extra oomph to just to get up out of bed and say, I'm going to go to church because I love church. Hopefully you get that way, but a lot of us really don't because we like to do us. We like to do our thing. And we don't like to be told what to do and how to live our life. That's why the church needs a little bit of help in today's day and age. Well, to see how we can get that help today was some really cool readings that we hear from Scripture. And despite what people say that the Bible is not an outdated book, today we heard from a Scripture passage that was written around 500 years B.C., 500 years before Jesus even set foot as a man on earth. We heard this passage from the Old Testament. Now again, a lot of people don't like the Old Testament. Doom and gloom, scary stuff, hail, fire, brimstone kind of thing. Guess what? I love the Old Testament. It's full of all kinds of really fun images. And today we have an image of what the church is all about in this passage from the prophet. He's a man of God preaching to people that are just messed up in the world. The prophet's name is Ezekiel, and he's talking to the church because they're miserable. They've been stuck not just 3 months of quarantine, but they're stuck in 70 years of being transported out of their native country, off into a foreign country because their army just defeated them and took over, destroyed the temple, and all that stuff. The whole Old Testament was about this passage. The Babylonian armies ransacked Israel, the people of God, and sent them off. And Ezekiel is prophesying. He's giving them discipline when they deserve it. But he also is giving them hope. He's a preacher in the Old Testament. Problem is, the people of God were just like the people of today in 2021. They're spiritual prostitutes. They would run after anything and anyone to make them fill up their love tank. They would maybe go after to false religions because it made them feel good. It allowed them to do whatever they wanted to do. They would eat and drink, sleep with anybody they wanted. They got so far away from God that God had to step in and do something about it. And he allowed evil to happen. Not because God is evil, but because he's trying to correct them, bring them closer to them. And he allowed these people to be taken away from their new normal. But Ezekiel is a man of God, and he's trying to give them hope that despite this penalty for sin, despite how bad life can get as we are all sinners, there is still hope. And he gives us this little image. It's called the Valley of the Dry Bones. And he's talking about this image. God leads this vision, maybe in a dream. A lot of you like to dream dreams. How many of you, raise your hand if you still remember your dreams. Anybody remember the dream from last night? A couple of you. I love remembering dreams because there's like some weird stuff that you dream about. Like, how did that get in my mind? Anyways, that's what Ezekiel is having, a dream, a vision from God about a big field of just bones, like a graveyard. And they're just not regular bones. These things are just dried up, like crumbly, like stuff you'd see in horror movies. A field of just bones. I call that not a dream, a nightmare. But God is in his dream saying, Ezekiel, man of God, preacher, what are all these bones about? And do you think that these bones could ever be worth anything again? You think they can come back to life? Now, it's an obvious answer, no, they're dead bones, they're dry. But God says in his dream, well, guess what, Ezekiel? I'm going to ask you to preach, to prophesy to these dead, dried-up bones. And when I do, and when you do, you're going to start to see some things happening. All of a sudden, these dried-up bones will come together. Rattling will happen. They will form into the bodies of the armies of the men that they used to be. Sinews will come back on. Muscle, tissue. And they will become physical people once again. And then, as you continue to preach and give them hope, life, the breath of life, their soul will return to their bodies. And before you, you won't see dead bones anymore. You're going to see an army of strong, healthy men and women. Now, that's, again, pretty nightmarish of a dream, but he says this to Ezekiel. This vision that you see is the people of God. They're saying that we are dried up, we are dead, we are cut off, we feel destitute, we feel alone, we feel worthless, we don't know what we're going to do. Maybe you felt like that this last year. Maybe you still feel like that. Maybe you're still trying to figure out life. Maybe you feel like you're a dried up bone. Well, God's people did too, and what Ezekiel did is said that there is hope. God is still faithful despite the death and misery around us. No matter how bad things can get, there will still be a day when God will breathe his life, his life-giving life, into you again. Not just for Israel returning back to their home after a long time of exile. Not just for us, 3 months to coming back in person to worship, but for us as the church. The next near future years are going to be pretty tough for us as Christians. And if they aren't tough already, they're going to get tougher. We might feel persecuted. Other countries in the world are dying because of their faith. We're not there yet, but we might be called to one day. And no matter how bad things get in our life, we know that just as God proclaimed hundreds and thousands of years ago and still today, God's going to fill you with his spirit, his breath of life. And God's going to fill the bones the bodies of every single loved one that we've had in our family that has ever trusted, ever loved, and believed in God, that are still waiting in those graveyards. God's going to take those bones and those remains and put his breath of life back in them, because one day we're going to be together. Physical people, not just living in a cloudy heaven, but as perfected, beautiful people as God intended us. That's the hope of the resurrection. That's the hope of Easter. That's the hope that of the church. So if God can raise up Jesus from the dead, if God can give us a promise that our loved ones will be risen physically to perfection on the last day, that means us as the church can do something now. God has given us a blessing of being able to worship freely here, not just in Wales or in Wisconsin, but in our country. He's given you his breath of life. He's given you every single thing. What are you going to do about it? You can first start with your families. Faith starts at home. Take care of your wives' husbands. Take care of your husbands' wives. Treat them with love and respect, forgiveness. And children, do the same. Honor your parents. When you do those simple things, you're becoming the church. You're forming a little church right there at home. But you can do that at school. You can do that in your businesses. You can do it in your offices. You can do it on the farm field. You can do it everywhere. Not just here on Sunday. And when that happens, you'll start to see the institutional church not just filled up on Sunday, but filled up wherever you go. And when you do that, keep your ears open. You might start to hear a little rattling of bones coming back together and forming Christian bodies. And that's a beautiful sound, that God makes us as dead men and women into life-breathing and life-giving people. That's what Pentecost is all about. We are back. Nothing can keep the church down. And you are the church. So, well, let's look ahead and see what's going to happen in this next year together. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, you give us your breath of life. You allow us to live. And you give us the forgiveness that we desperately depend on. Help us to be the church. Help us to preach your word of hope. And at times, helping us to use words if necessary. Help us to use our actions and behaviors to show love to one another and acceptance, but also to bring people closer to you, for we are the church and we are yours. In Jesus, we pray. Amen.